Bible and turn over to Luke 17. Luke 17, and we'll be in verses 11 through 19. Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. It says, starting in verse 11, it says, "And it came to pass as he went through Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And he entered into a certain village. There met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when we saw them, and when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when they saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice and glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." Would you pray for us, please? Now, in this particular text right here, in Luke 17, verses 11 through 19, I want to bring to your attention some reasons you can be thankful and then see the benefits and the blessings behind being thankful. Now, I'll kind of be right to the point, I just hope this really can minister you kids. Over here, you want to listen real close to this, especially. Now, that doesn't mean you adults need to turn this off. Except you come unto me with a childlike faith, you'll know why I inherit the kingdom of heaven, the Bible says. Granted, I know that's talking about salvation, but listen up real close anyway. Now, people come to the Lord for a lot of reasons. Most of the time, they come to the Lord, unfortunately, they'll come to the Lord when they're in trouble. And I've seen that. I've seen that with saved people, and I've seen it with lost people as well. I see them when they come to the Lord, especially children. Have you ever been around children and you ask them what was their excuse for doing what they done wrong, and they'll say the devil made me do it? In all reality, the devil doesn't make you do anything. It's you. It's you that'll wind yourself up in a lot of trouble. I was told one time a long time ago that the worst enemy that you have is yourself. Is myself. If you want to know what you're doing, my pastor will tell you sometimes in the morning, just get up in the mirror and look yourself in the mirror and ask yourself, what are you up to this morning? Because the Bible says in Jeremiah, the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. That means all of our hearts are, starting with mine. I mean, preachers, pastors, and missionaries are not bulletproof of deceitful hearts. We all have it. But they'll come to the Lord when they're in trouble. A lot of the times people come to the Lord when they want something. And you see that, and that's evident in prayers. Now, in prayers, a lot of the time, what you ought to do is just make a mental note the next time you pray how much you ask God for. Now, I don't mean that bad because He is our Father, and we have need to ask Him of everything that we have need of. However, think about that. And when you pray, I'll show you how often we're asking the Lord for something. Pray one time, just giving God thanks for everything that you do. And realize how hard it is to concentrate on asking God or telling God thank you for everything that He's done without actually asking Him for something. And it doesn't necessarily have to be materialistic. It could be help you to get through the day, help you to overcome personal problems, help you to come over problems with your friends. Think about that. just spend one time in prayer. If your prayer time is 15 minutes or 30 minutes or an hour, spend 15, 30 minutes, 45 minutes or an hour just thanking God for everything that He's done, as opposed to asking him for something. And a lot of the time people come to God only when they're wanting something, as opposed to giving Him thanks. Now, a lot of the time we'll come to the Lord when things aren't going our way. You know, so many times we think that we have a way that we need to do things. And the Bible says the way that God thinks is not the way we think, and the way we think is not the way God thinks. And so many times we think we have the right answers. And because we do, we start going to God praying our will be done as opposed to His. I'll give you a perfect example. This video right here was, that thing was totally against my will. And now I'll confess to you right now, I mean, it's not a major bad sin or anything, but when you're doing a slide presentation and you're clicking the buttons, you are speaking. And when you're speaking, guess what that means? Sir? Who said that? That's exactly right, brother. You're in control. When you do a presentation like that, you have absolutely no control. And I realized that that was my problem in the very end. I was taught that video presentations were canned, you know, that they don't have a lot of meaning and things of that nature. And I was really feeding on that to not make this video, because in all reality, I wanted control. And I made that video against my will, and I fought and kicked it. It was Pastor Jorge that finally said, Brother Herring, which he graduated from Hollis Anderson University of all places. He said, Brother Herring, he said, this video will not hurt you. He said, it won't hurt you at all. If anything, it'll help you. And I said, look, I said, I've had a half a dozen men tell me this. And I said, I want you to know they told me the same thing, and I'm going to do it, but it's against my will. And I'm going to tell you, I'm glad I did now. That was not my idea. My way of thinking was definitely not the way of the Lord's thinking. And it turned out to be very nice. It turned out, I've heard people say that it's one of the most personal videos that they've seen. And it was very informative, extremely informative. And I prayed to God about that, and I tried to make that slide presentation my way. And the Lord kept saying, every time I come across it, the Lord say, do it this way, do it this way, do it this way. And He'd use men to do it. We always want to go to God when things aren't going our way and try to make it our way. We go to God a lot of time when we're afraid. Our fears in witnessing, our fears in stepping out on faith. Faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And we, as in this Christian generation, in this unfortunate Laodicean church age, we, even Bible believers, oftentimes are asking God to show us something before we ever step out on faith. We as Christians are to operate on faith. Faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. When God asks you to do something, or God puts it on your heart to do something, He shouldn't ask you to. He should have to show you something for you to do it. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And so many times we go to God because we're afraid. We'll be praying, and our fear is demonstrated in our prayer. God, show me something. That is a perfect demonstration of fear. Now, I don't promote just jumping out there and just doing something, you know, just off the cuff or anything like that. I think you ought to put prayer into it. I think you ought to make sure that the Lord is leading in what you do so that you're successful in whatever it is you do. However, don't be asking God to show you some kind of sign. The Bible says an evil, adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. On top of that, the signs were made for Jews, not us. We are to step and operate by faith. Do faith promise here, Pastor? That's why they call it faith promise. That's why you're supposed to do your faith promise, and you're supposed to give above, not knowing where it's going to come from, and expect God to deliver. I had a lot of pastors say, you know, brother, just make sure your feet grow prayers. You know, when God opens the door, you'll see it. If you wind up, how many of you all have stepped out on faith and your faith promise given, scared, but done it, and all of a sudden the Lord opens up avenues for you to make extra money or to do something so that you can give above and beyond? Raise your hands. Seen it so many times. I was in Tennessee one time preaching at a missions conference up there, and you know how many families up there work second jobs just for Faith Promise Missions? And before they had made the commitment, they were afraid to do it and didn't know how they were going to do it, and they done it. I know that sounds really wild, and that's the happiest bunch of people I've ever seen in my life. I'm talking a church of 135 people give $265,000 last year to missions. 135 people. And these people aren't rich. I mean, they just work. A lot of times we go to God when we're afraid. God, I'm afraid. I'm afraid. I'm scared. And that's good. That's good. We go to God when we get hurt, physically and emotionally. We go to God when we get in trouble. Man, kids, how many times have you went to God after your parents have got on you and you told, oh, or you done something really bad and you're praying, oh, God, I'm sorry. Oh, God, I'm sorry I did this. Oh, God, I'm sorry I did this. Are you really sorry that you done it, or are you just sorry because you think you're fixing to get a real good spanking because you know what you did? Some of you kids say amen right there. Yeah. A lot of the times we go to God when we get in trouble. How many times have we done that ourselves as adults? We only go to God when we're in trouble. We go to God when all of a sudden we think right when we feel like we've got the world by the tail, right when we think we got things under control, we take the control, something happens, and all of a sudden we're right back at Him again. It's not necessarily bad to have that, but we're often going to God because we're in trouble. Sometimes when these things happen, it's because you don't give God the glory, and you're thankful. Now, a lot of the time, I know over in the book of Romans, let me turn there. Let me see here. Romans 1:18. Just bear with me a second here. The first step to a backslidden Christian is their inability to give thanks. That's the first initial step. In Romans, you'll see that. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 23, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of God, changed the glory of an uncorruptible God into the image into an image made like a corruptible, made to a corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and to creeping things." Do you see where the first step of a backslidden Christian would start? It's not giving glory to God. We're giving honor to whom honor is due, and not being thankful. When you see a Christian start heading downhill or sliding downhill in their Christian walk with the Lord, you can just about bet just every single time that one time or in point in their life, they were ungrateful or unthankful, some way, shape, or form. That's where it usually starts. That's where it usually starts. Now, you'll see that back over in, you'll see the same thing in Luke verse 17. Luke 17:17, I think is where I read that. And Jesus answered and said, "Were they not cleansed, but where are the nine?" Where were the nine that were supposed to have been thankful? Where were they? One of them turned back. Now, you know, I did a study on statistics through the Bible about this 10% rule. This 10% rule is staggering. It is staggering. Now, I don't say this to your shame or anything. This could be a church that's an exception to the rule, but this I know. The Bible says that you're supposed to only give 10% God requires 10%, you to give 10%. Okay, He requires that, and then and offerings as well, but 10% for sure. Okay, I know for a fact right here there were 10 men cleansed right here, and only one of them went back. 10% rule. I've been in churches over. I've been in over 200 Baptist churches now in the past several years, and I've talked with several pastors, and I've found out that generally in a congregation, it's 10% of the congregation that is extremely active and busy. So, sitting right here, if there is 100 people in here tonight, there are 10 extremely active, busy people on an average. Pastor, am I very far off? It's a 10% rule with that thing, and it goes through. There's only 10% of you in here that give like you ought to. Ooh. Now, that's enough being ugly. Let's get all to the positive side of things, okay? The Bible says a false balance is an abomination to God, okay? So we're going to create a little balance here, and we'll go ahead and go into the nice positive things. Now, let's think about some reasons why this leper turned back. Why did he turn back? He realized what the Lord had done for him. You know, I don't know if you've ever imagined. Have you ever did a little study on leprosy? Do you understand what leprosy does and how it affects people and what it does to them when they have it? Leprosy is terrible. I mean, it's a disease that rots your flesh from the inside out. And it causes areas where you don't have bones just to fall off. Like your ears, after a period of time, your ears, they literally fall off. There's no bone in your ears. It's all cartilage and stuff. And that disease will eat, and it will literally make your flesh fall off. And these men had leprosy for an exorbitant amount of time. And I know, having seen leprosy, leprosy in Thailand is terrible. There's leper colonies actually in Thailand. And these guys, because there is no medical care, they will be wrapped in bandages. And you can see this disease coming through the bandages. And the smell of rotting flesh is unbelievable. It is unbelievable. Now, I say that and I try to be graphic because out of these 9 men that had leprosy, this gruesome disease, one of them turned back to think the Lord for what he had done. And I know why he did. He realized what God Almighty had done for him. Number one, not only did he cleanse his leprosy, God, this man realized who he was when God had cleansed him. Not only did he have leprosy, he was a Samaritan. He was a Gentile. And, you know, the Jewish people had no dealings with Gentiles. So he had like 2 strikes against him. The Lord Jesus Christ should have never been anywhere near him. They should have been outside the, you know, most likely they were outside the city. So they were isolated, okay? So for them, the chance to ever get healed was second to none. And then on top of it, that this particular fellow was a Samaritan, and he was a Gentile, and now you've got a Jewish man dealing with a Gentile. He was a stranger. The Bible says that. And he was a stranger. In verse 18, save this stranger at the end of the verse. Doctrinally speaking, a stranger in the Old Testament is anyone that's not a Jewish man or a Hebrew. That's a Gentile. He realized what God had done for him. He wasn't thinking of himself only. That's another reason I think he turned back. He wasn't thinking of himself only. Now, what that means is I don't know. Have you ever been overwhelmed with the goodness and graciousness of God and went a couple of days, God had actually blessed you with something and realized that you wasn't actually grateful what the Lord had done for you? You was just consumed with the goodness that God had, everything that had happened to you, and you was real happy about it, and then it dawned on you, wow, I didn't even thank God for that. I mean, if you're really willing to be honest, I mean, it's amazing how so many times we can focus this way. It's simple. It's really easy to do. I mean, it's human nature to do that. But he wasn't thinking of himself only. He realized what he had. I'll give you another example. You know, you say the blessing at the dinner table, you know, and how many times have you said, Lord, thank you for this food, and then actually thought about what you said and not realize you meant what you said? That changed my life. Brother, that changed my life. When I, the larger cities, Aradia, Brasov, and larger cities like that, it's a night and day difference when you step outside the city and you start dealing with the villages. There, it's like two different worlds almost. And I remember the very first time I went over there in 2000, in the year 2000, I think it was. No. Yeah, 2000, that a family in a village outside of Bayamari, which is, I can't remember the name of the village now, but they knew that we were coming to dinner there for quite some time. And so they had to make a lot of preparations for us to come. And they left us with the impression that they had made preparations for almost a month to feed us a nice meal, one meal. And it was that trip right there that changed my life as far as being grateful for a plate of food when I sit down here at the table in the States. It's hard over there in a lot of areas. It's extremely hard. It's hard. And when you sit down, it's so easy to have a paycheck come. I mean, you ought to thank God for what you have here. Because you sit down here, there's not a person in this church, I don't think. There might be an exception to the rule, but you could go home right now and prepare a meal and probably feed, you know, 3 or 4 people easily without thinking about it. And you sit down and you thank God for the food. And I can remember bowing my head when I got back home and thanking God for the food. And it's like the Holy Spirit said, did you even mean what you said? And I had to confess to God Almighty, no, I guess I wasn't. I'm sorry. And now, I still say the blessing every now and then, not grateful like I should be. But it's a little bit more conscious to me to realize how much we have here and how little other people have. Wasn't thinking of himself only, and it's God Almighty that puts that plate on your food, whether you give him credit for it or not. He does it for lost people, and he does it for saved people. You know, his parents might have brought him up right. You know, your kids are going to Sunday school on a regular basis. You're taught to pray. You're taught that Jesus Christ died for your sins. And the Bible says over in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30, to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. You know, this old boy might have turned back simply because his parents brought him up right. You know, don't give up. Don't give up on the children. You train them, you teach them, and when they get older, providing that you're training them in love and care, remember that God Almighty is not austere. He's not hard. He's not a dictator. The Bible says the spirit that's from above is peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. And I'm afraid so many times in our Christian life, we don't impose that gentleness and easiness and the easy to be entreated part on a child's life when they serve God. And they make God out to be this hard, austere God, and when they get older, they want nothing to do with God. To be able to serve the Lord Jesus Christ is a joy. It's a pleasure. It's fun. It's not a task. Now, it becomes a burden sometimes, and it's hard work, but it is not a task that should be dreaded. It should be a joy, and that's what we're to teach our children. His parents probably brought him up right. It meant more to him than it did the others. He realized what the Lord had to do for him to save, to cleanse him. He had to deal with the Samaritan, and he had to expose himself to leprosy, the Lord Jesus Christ. It meant a lot to him for God Almighty to come to him and heal him. It meant more to him than it did to the others. I think also, too, another reason that he went back and thanked the Lord is I think his healing, it caught him unexpected. I don't know how long. I'm sure this man had leprosy for years and years. And all of a sudden, the Lord to heal him, just that hit unexpected. It hit these other nine unexpectedly. Man, they run off and were ecstatic. I mean, they couldn't believe. There's no telling how long those men sat around and realized what God had done for, and they probably never got over it. It's kind of like getting saved. You know, especially if you get saved later in life, you sit there and you look back at that and you think about the things that you have done and the sins that was committed, and you look at the goodness of God and you look back and you say, God Almighty, how in the world did I? Wow, that was good. It's a healthy thing. It's a healthy thing for a man and a woman to look back at the point of salvation and realize what God had brought them from, has brought them from. You know, so many Christians will say, you never look back. No, look back. I encourage you, look back at where God saved you from so you're never to return. Now, you'll never die and go to hell, but the sins that you've committed are just as capable of being committed now as they were back then. You look back at that, you say, God Almighty, thank you for delivering me from that. It meant something to him more than it did the others. It wasn't something that he expected. You know, another thing I realized about him is he was humble. It took humility for him to go back and say, thank you, Lord, because if it wasn't for you, this would have never happened. Only you could have made me whole or healed me like you done. Thank you, Father. You know, it's something to get down on your knees and pray to God when you know you don't have any money and you've got sick children and you're asking God to help you and you say, Lord, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do, Lord? And you have to approach God with such humility because we, especially as men, you know, you're saying, what do I do? What do I do to meet this need? Man, men and ladies are the same way. We are designed and we are built in such a fashion that we are here to fix and repair and make things work and go. And when you realize that it's out of your control, and you have to humble yourself before God and say, God, I need your help. And then when God does it, you go back to him and you publicly stand up and confess in humility that God met our needs here. It takes humility to do that. And us as red-blooded Americans, sometimes that's extremely tough to do. It's extremely tough to do with Romanians as well, brother, is it not? Amen. Amen. And most of all, he was thankful. He was thankful. And the reason he was thankful is because I think he realizes he didn't deserve what he had got. He realizes that his healing, he didn't deserve what he had got. And you know what? Us as born-again saved Christians, if you would just be honest inside of your hearts, since the moment that you have been saved, if you would just think about the thoughts and deeds in your minds and the sins that have been committed after that, not necessarily gross sins, but sins in general, and sin is sin no matter where you step out, you look back and you wonder, wow, I didn't deserve what God gave me, but he did. Thank you, Lord, so much for doing that. Now, there is a blessing behind this whole thing. Now, I give you seven good reasons why he went back, and I'm confident these seven reasons, they came directly from this fellow's heart, this Samaritan's heart. And because of the goodness of his heart, which, by the way, I think our condition and our fellowship with God and anything that we do in our life stems and hinges on the condition of our heart. The Bible says there are over 800 passages in the Bible dealing with the condition of a man's heart, and it doesn't talk, usually it's not talking about the physical beating organ. It's dealing with his spiritual condition, dealing with his heart, his thoughts, his intent. And everything we do evolves around that. And it's so scary because Ezekiel chapter 14 verses 1 through 7 says that the Lord will answer a man's prayers according to the idols that are in his heart. See, sometimes we as as Christians can be extremely deceptive in our prayers, and we'll be trying to pray in such a way that we want things done our way, and we think we're trying to fool God, and the Lord will say, okay, I'm going to let you have it just that way, and he answers your prayers according to the idols that are in your heart. He done it with the nation of Israel, and he does it to us. I encourage you, go read that. You go read that. Ezekiel chapter 14, verses 1 through 7. It's just as clear, and that's what makes you scared. It should scare you. But now this old boy, because of the humility in his heart, him going back and thanking the Lord, he got something, I think, that the other nine didn't get. The other nine could have got something, too. And I want you to look at this. Luke 17. It says in verse 19, and he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. He got something the other nine didn't get. See, the other nine lepers, they went away cleansed. But they were all scarred up. In other words, the leprosy had stopped. The stench had stopped. The infection had stopped spreading. And they were cleansed. Their sores and stuff, all scarred up and still, but yet they were cleansed. They didn't have the disease anymore. This one leper went back and thanked God for what he'd done, and God sent him away and said, thy faith hath made thee what? Whole. Now, I believe my Bible for exactly what it says. Is it possible that that Samaritan walked away with his skin cleansed and he was perfectly whole? And he had not been scarred? Why? Because the condition of his heart showed that he was thankful. And God said, you know, I'm going to reward you for that. You're the only one that came back. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And bang, he walked away unscarred. Now, that is something to see. Now, if my Bible is correct and that you take your Bible literally for what it says, that very well could have happened right there. Think about that. Think about that, kids. You know, you can't go to God expecting God to do something for you just because you do for him. That's not going to happen. God knows your hearts. Kids, God knows your hearts. People, God knows your heart. If you're going to go out there and try to give to God just because you want something back from him, that's not going to happen. God's not fooled. But if you give to God with all your heart, God is going to bless you. God is going to bless you, and he will. God loves a cheerful giver. He loves a person. And you know what? You think I'm sitting here talking about your wallet. No, you know what? It's 10 times easier. It's more easier to take your billfold and dump it in an offering plate than it is to give yourself to God. If you want to give an absolute offering to God, keep your money and give yourself to God. I know that for a fact. I've run and operated businesses for a long time, and I could give my conscience right into an offering plate. And God one day said, son, I don't need your money and I don't want it. I want you. And I'm going to tell you, that's 10 times more of a sacrifice than it is to put your money in a plate. Father, I don't know what else to say. I pray, God Almighty, that your Holy Spirit move. We sure do love you, Lord. We thank you for the absorbent amount of grace and mercy that you've had in our lives. Thank you for looking over us and taking care of us. Father, I pray that these words not fall on deaf ears, that they wind up in such a way that in the hearts and minister to each and every heart out there. I certainly didn't say these things to be ugly. I didn't say them, Father, to be harsh or judgmental or angry or anything of that nature. Father, all I've tried to do is reveal and expose our human nature to you, or to them. And I pray, God Almighty, that it has done just that. I probably should have asked you, Father, not to let me say anything I don't need to. I'm a little late for that, Lord. But I pray, God Almighty, that, Lord, these words not fall on deaf ears, and that they take heed to the scriptures that were preached. We love you, Father. We sure do thank you for being good to us. Thank you for your grace and mercy. I pray, Lord, now, I don't know here tonight, there might be somebody lost that has never accepted you as their personal Savior. If they've never been saved, I pray, Lord, that they see your goodness and your love and your mercy tonight, and that they would come down and understand that they need Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Father, they're not promised tomorrow. And Father, if they step out of here and something happens, God Almighty, they would land in a pit of hell that would burn forever. And Father, that place was prepared for the devil and his angels. It was never even prepared for us. So I pray, God Almighty, that you would just break the heart of each person in here that maybe is not saved, and show them your goodness and your love that you have for them, and give them the strength and the boldness to realize they're lost and be able to step forward and to do something about it. Now, these things we pray and ask in your name. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, your God, for our sins that made it possible for us to be saved and have fellowship with you. Amen.